All right. As you know, we've been going along here on Sunday mornings for this class. We've been dealing with specifically topics that we could apply in the area of healing, and so I'm endeavoring to continue to do that. We spent about 8 weeks just establishing the fact that it was God's will to heal. We got into some peripheral issues that had to do with that, like why do people get sick and things like that, and I hope that was helpful. You know, none of those things are ever meant to bring condemnation. You know, they're to help us understand. I don't know how you are, but I'm the kind of person that if I don't see some kind of results or some kind of fruit, I want to find out why. I want to find out if I have a plant at home and it's not flowering and it's supposed to be flowering, I want to know why it isn't. I don't feel condemned that it's not flowering. I just know that I'm probably not doing something right. I'm not giving it the proper nutrients, or perhaps it's not getting the right sun exposure. Maybe it's not getting the like nighttime temperatures or right for it or whatever. I want to know why it's not flowering. I don't feel condemned a bit. And so the things that we might share sometimes on in a class like this, they might challenge us a little bit. They might make us look at ourselves and ask some hard questions. Why isn't this seemed like it's working? Because we see all these incredible promises in the Word, and you know, of course, we know God is never the problem, is He? We can never point our finger in God's nose and say, well, you said you would do this and you're not doing it. Who would have the audacity to do? Well, people have had the audacity. You know, there's people that have gotten mad at God and quit. They've gotten angry at Him and quit because they thought God came up short or that God failed them in some way. I just think, how foolish is that? That an infallible God could fail us instead of looking at ourselves. And so we're going to talk now for a few weeks, at least when I'm sharing, I'm going to talk some about the issue of faith. And so today you just say, what about faith? Because faith is such a critical issue when it comes to the issue of healing. And I think a lot of people, you know, we call ourselves a Word of Faith church, which means that the principles and teachings that we endeavor to bring forth on a weekly basis, whether it's pastor or it's me or whoever is filling this pulpit on a Sunday morning, would gender faith in us, would cause us to be stronger in our foundation and then be able to, with confidence, step out and walk in the things that we're learning. And so I just thought, you know, we need to look at this topic because we have been sitting under the Word. Some of you have been here for years and years and years, and we've heard the Word of Faith, and we've heard ample scriptural references on a number of topics. We've talked about financial prosperity. We've talked about the soul, the prosperity of the soul. We've talked about financial or healing. We've talked, you name it, we've talked about it pretty much. There isn't a whole lot of things that we haven't ventured into. And so we've heard a lot of scripture. And you know, if you've ever sat in one of pastor's services, there's more scriptures than, I mean, there's just never a lack of the Word. What does Romans 10:17 say? It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if it was just an issue of hearing a lot of the word, we should all be absolute faith giants, shouldn't we? So what does that tell us? That we're missing something somewhere because we're not faith giants. I mean, maybe in the spirit we might be, but we want what's in the spirit to be translated into real life. And so we've heard a lot of word. We've heard a lot more word than our lives are evident, are showing evidence of. And so I'm the kind of person, I want to know why is that? You know, I've had some wonderful victories in the area of healing, but you know what? I want more. We've had some wonderful victories in financial provision and things, seeing God move on our behalf financially, but I want more. I want more. I want all the promises of God to be evident in my life. Because doesn't the Word say that all the promises of God in Christ are yes and in Him, amen? That means they're all for all of us. There isn't a promise that you're going to go to God any day on and have Him say, not for you, no, another time, come back when I'm not so busy. So I want to look at the topic of faith and maybe look at some things we haven't considered before. So, you know, I've shared the issue or the different accounts of healing. I've shared those accounts, I don't know how many times over the years, probably a dozen times in the 30 plus years I've been preaching, that I've actually shared those accounts. And there's 19 major accounts in the Gospels, and of those 19, 10 of them specifically address the issue of the person's faith. And so I'm just going to quickly run through those, and then we'll just introduce this a little bit and just maybe say some things that just try to get you thinking a little bit about it. But the first one that actually mentions the person's faith would be in John chapter 4. This is the account of the nobleman who came or sent his servants to Jesus on behalf of his son who was sick. And in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 50, in verse 50, it says, "The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him and went his way." So there, you know, faith is implied when it says believe. Faith is implied. You know, we use those words kind of interchangeably many times, the word believe and the word faith. So it tells us here that this man believed what Jesus said to him and went on his way. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a story of a man who's a paralytic. And this is the one that we all use so often, the man who's brought by his four friends. This is Matthew 9, Mark 2, and Luke chapter 5. And it says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." So there again, faith is mentioned in the context of healing. Then in Luke chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 8, we see the story of the centurion's servant. And in regards to some of the discourse that he had with Jesus, Jesus makes this comment. He says, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Then we have the account of Jairus' daughter in Matthew chapter 9, Mark 5, and Luke chapter 8. And it says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." Now, the faith or believing isn't mentioned in there, but this man's making a declaration of faith. So we know faith is involved. He's saying, look, if you'll do this, this is what the result is going to be. So faith is is implied there. Then the woman with the issue of blood, which is kind of sandwiched in the same account as Jairus' daughter, Matthew chapter 9, Mark 5, and Luke 8. It says, "Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." Then in Matthew chapter 9, we have the account of two blind men, which we'll look at a little bit more here in a little bit. He said, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." The Syrophoenician's woman's daughter in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7, Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So again and again and again, we see faith is either implied or it's directly mentioned, believing in faith. Then in Mark chapter 9, Matthew 17, and Luke chapter 9, the account of the lunatic son. I love this one. This one reminds me of a lot of us. Not the lunatic son, but but the way that it unfolds. Man, the lunatic son is in there too, I guess, a little bit. And oftentimes they're describing what the spirit does to this young boy. They're saying, the father is telling Jesus, oftentimes it casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Then in Luke chapter 17, we have the story of the 10 lepers, where Jesus says, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And then the 10th one is blind Bartimaeus. We'll look at him again later if time allows. In Mark chapter 10, Matthew 20, and Luke chapter 18, it says, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And he immediately received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So how many of you have heard any of those accounts before taught in detail? Okay, we've heard these, haven't we? I've probably taught them a dozen times, just myself. And then we've probably heard other people teach it, and they've been used as object lessons, and we could go on and on and on and on. So we have heard, right? We've all heard. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If faith, then why aren't we seeing more fruit, more results in the area of healing? If we've heard these things and we've seen these examples and we've seen all of the little nuances in each one of these, and you know, if Romans 10:17 should be taken just at face value, that all we need to do is hear the word, then we have absolutely no excuse for any kind of faith failures, do we? Not, now again, please, let's approach this class as if we hadn't heard anything about faith, because what can happen, some of the things I know that I share get people kind of on the defensive, like, oh, don't say that, I don't want to hear that. But again, don't we want to know, if something's not working, don't we want to know why it might not be working? Amen. We don't want to make excuses or self-justify, or we don't want that, because what are we going to get? Just more of the same, the same results. So there's got to be reasons. There has, maybe it's just a misunderstanding or misapplying the way we're hearing things, or there could be any number of things. Of course, it's so unique, as unique as each of us is. So it can be a very touchy issue for people, the issue of faith, because I think it's because it's so central to the aspect of every single area of our lives. It's so central. Faith is so central to that. And it's indispensable. And because it's indispensable, it can cause us to become defensive and self-justify and discouraged and sometimes even a little condemned because we're not seeing what's going on. And, you know, it really gets difficult when others know we're struggling in an area or fighting the good fight in an area, and they know as well as we know that it doesn't seem to be working. So it can be condemning because we want everybody to think we're faith giants. Amen? We want everybody to look at us and think, oh, look at them, what a faith giant they are. And, you know, in some areas we may be more farther down this road than we are in others, but these are all things we need to consider. So we've spent 8 weeks establishing the foundation that is definitely God's will to heal, so we know God is not the problem. Amen? It's not a problem. It's not an issue that God's not willing for us to be healed or for that healing is part of God's plan for us. So obviously, this whole topic of faith has to be more thoroughly looked at because it's so pivotal. It's such a crucial issue for us as believers. So, again, let's just look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And this is repeated. This concept is repeated. One phrase. We're just going to look at one phrase here, one part of Romans 1, 17. It's repeated in Galatians 3 and Hebrews chapter 10. He's talking about the revelation of the faith righteousness here. But the very last phrase of this passage is what I want to focus on. He says, the just shall live by faith. That's talking about those who have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to live. Our lives should be lived by faith. The way we live our everyday lives, the way we live our lives concerning our finances, our relationships, healing, everything that pertains to life in general should be lived by faith. So what is that telling us? It's just telling us faith is a huge, huge thing. It's vitally important. Anytime God says something once, we should pay attention, right? But if he says it 2, 3, 4 times in the scriptures, that means it's really important. This is a reality that we need to hold near and dear to us, and that is that the just shall live by faith. So, you know, who wants to acknowledge the fact that they may not be enjoying some biblical promise because they're struggling in that area of faith there? Who wants to acknowledge that? That's a hard thing. Like I said, this is a touchy issue. Who wants to say, well, I'm just not in faith. I really just don't believe that. I'm having a struggle in that area. In fact, some people wouldn't even begin to say that because they're looking for all the reasons it's not working, and they're usually not willing to look at the real key pivotal things. So it's a touchy, touchy thing. And I think the reason is because we all have this system of beliefs, but most of those beliefs are right here. We have this system of beliefs in our heads, and it's really easy to confuse that with faith. I mean, again, if you've been in a word church and you've been taught the word, you could probably give a dozen scriptures on why it's God's will for you to be healed, or why it's God's will for you to be prosperous, or why you can not don't have to walk in fear, or why you shouldn't be anxious, or we could name many, many different topics. And I would say most of the people in this room could do that because you've been around, you've heard these promises. So you have a well-developed system of precepts or beliefs in your head. But that's not faith. That isn't faith. That's a belief system. Actually, what it is it's a renewed mind. But that isn't enough. Because according to Romans chapter 12, you have to do more with getting your mind renewed. There's more involved in life transformation than just getting your mind renewed. There's the proving side of it. That's our part, the proving side of it. He says that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Look, I believe these things now. This is the proof that my mind is renewed in this area. There's fruit. There's fruit here. So let's just pretend this is a 101 class. You have never heard anything about faith before. Amen. So we've got these beliefs in our head, but it's very easy for us to get it confused with faith. And, you know, we've got these some very well-developed systems of beliefs on all these different topics. And is that when we study the scriptures and we acknowledge that the scriptures are infallible and we've chosen to submit our lives to the precepts and teachings of the scripture, we really have gone through that process of mind renewal. You know, I talk a lot about the whole aging issue. When I think of aging, I don't think of it like I hear some Christians talk about it. They talk about getting old and feeble and jokingly talking about their spouse having to change their diapers as they get older. And I mean, those thoughts just don't even register with me. They just don't register. Why? Because I've renewed my mind to what the Word says about aging. I renewed my mind to what the Word says with long life. He said he'd satisfy me and show me his salvation. So there's a belief system that supports what I say I believe, and that governs what I think, what I say, what I do. You know, I was sharing last week, I think it was, or a couple weeks ago, that back a few weeks ago on the news one night, they were interviewing people on the street and asking them, well, who's going to take care of you when you get old? And, you know, everybody had similar answers. It was all my kids, my grandkids. I wouldn't want my grandkids taking care of me, at least not right now. I love my grandkids, but, you know, I've seen how my kids keep their room. I don't think I'd want them taking care of me. Some of them said, well, I put money away, and I've got the money to put into a nursing home or a care facility of some kind. But never once did they ever ask, well, maybe they did ask somebody, but they chose not to put that one on because they didn't like that answer. But I never heard one of them that said, I'm trusting God. I'm going to live long. I'm going to live well. Like Moses, my eye is not going to be dim and my strength is not going to be abated. I never heard that. I never heard anybody say that. Of course, I doubt that they would have put that one on anyway, because that's just not the way that most of the news programs tend to go. So yes, we've believed with our minds, but I think what we've done, and I think this is where the confusion comes in, is we've equated that with faith. We've assumed, because I know what the Word says, and I agree with what the Word says, I agree with it, that we've equated that with faith, but mind renewal is not the same as faith. Mind renewal is exactly what it says. It's mind renewal. It's just changing the way we think about any given thing that God has to say. And we base the way our mind is being changed and renewed is based on what the scriptures say. But that isn't faith. That isn't faith. So it's not what we think it is sometimes. You know, I think oftentimes we think, well, this is what faith is, and I'm in faith. I'm in faith because, and then we quote all these scriptures. This and this and this and this. These are the things that this is why I believe I'm in faith. But I think it has something, it's something more than what we've assumed it to be. And what's interesting is if you go back and you look into these accounts that I alluded to earlier, that there was some kind of affirmation that Jesus gave each one of those people that tells us something about faith. Not once did he ever stop and say, boy, you've got some great thoughts there. You know, you're in faith because you've got great thoughts. No, that was never, ever even mentioned. He was pointing to something that took place that he was able to affirm them and say, you've got faith. You're in faith. You've got great faith. Be it unto you according to that faith. So, again, it has to be something more than what we've assumed it to be. And again, you know, this is not intended to bring any kind of bad feelings, guilt, condemnation to somebody who is suffering or who is a loved one who is suffering and hasn't seen the things that they desire to see. That's not that. You know, who hasn't? Who hasn't suffered? Who hasn't had issues in life and hasn't seen what they know the glorious promises of God to say producing something in their life? Haven't we all experienced that? Maybe right now you're experiencing that in an area. We all have. So there's no reason for anybody in here to go, you know, we're all there. We've all had these experiences. Nobody's there. Nobody's arrived yet. We're all a work in progress. So really this is just intended to present some thoughts that might help challenge us and bring us a fresh perspective on this whole topic of faith. Because it's such a huge thing with us. We call ourselves a Word of Faith church. That's a huge thing. That's a huge boast, really. Okay, so, but again, Romans chapter 12, he says, be not conformed, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So yes, part of our faith journey involves the renewing of our mind to these God realities, that God wants us well. God wants us to be provided for. God wants us to have blessed relationships. God wants us to walk in joy. God does not want us to be anxious or in fear. So we've learned some really wonderful things. We've gotten our minds renewed to these realities, but that in and of itself does not equate with faith. We just know these things. We know them. We know what the Word says. We've been told if somebody came to any person in this room and tried to tell you that you're sick because God's trying to teach you something, you would, something would rise up inside of you and you would let them know why that's not true. You know, we've been taught. So it's not that we haven't heard the truth. So why is this issue of what we know in our head not enough? Because faith is not a mind thing. Doesn't Romans 10:10 tells us that we believe with our heart? Your heart's a faith factory. It is. I mean, yes, part of the, you know, the heart is comprised of the spirit and the soul. And so it's kind of like this very difficult to separate organic thing, not just organic, but there's spirit and, you know, there's this thing going on that's part of its mind renewal, but then there's the spiritual side of it, which is where the power comes from. But it isn't just getting the mind renewed. Your heart is actually like the factory where faith comes from. And that's why, again, I'm such a stickler about protecting the heart. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us to guard your heart because out of your heart proceeds the issues of life. So your whole life is being lived out of your heart. What you see in your life right now came out of your own heart. That's another one we don't like. We want to blame somebody for this. It's their fault, or it's the devil. It's the devil. It's him. Well, yeah, the devil can attack us, but again, have we closed the doors? Have we done what we can to slam the door on him? We could go back and talk about that some more. But what we'll see here, by looking at one account, I'm just going to open this up here, and then we're probably going to have to quit for a prayer. But Jesus, remember when we talked about sin possibly being the cause in some cases of sickness? Now, I made it clear that not every sin will cause sickness, and not every sickness is caused by sin, personal sin. And Jesus was not afraid to address that. You know, Jesus loved people. He wanted to help them. So he told them things. Sometimes things were very confrontational. He told them. So he wasn't afraid to address the issue of sin regarding healing, nor is he afraid to address the issue of faith. And yet we tiptoe around that with people. When we see somebody in a protracted situation where it goes on and on and on and there's just no changing in it, seldom are we bold enough to say, are you in faith? That's really a tough one for some people. It's really hard to say, but Jesus wasn't. Jesus had absolutely no qualms with addressing the issue of faith. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 9 and I'll show you that. In Matthew chapter 9, this is the account of the two blind men. How many of you know Jesus, he was love incarnate. He walked in love. That's all he just wanted to help people. Sometimes the way he helped people, he kicked them in the back end. That's how he helped them. And I love the story of the Syrophoenician woman. She came for help, and basically he said, forget it, you know. She fought for what she believed she had a right to. That was just aggressive. I mean, she could have been offended by what he said to her. We'll look at that another time, but Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Now, first of all, I want to point out, who did they call him? Son of David. What does that mean? That's not just another name for Jesus. Like, that's just an alias he goes by, is it? What is that significant of? That means the king. That means Messiah. What else does that mean? The opener of blind eyes. Look at what Isaiah 60 says about the Spirit of the Lord's upon me and all the things that he would do. They recognize that this man was the son of David. So there's something there. But I love it. Jesus says, do you believe I'm able to do this? So he really and very directly, by saying that to them, he very bluntly, point blank, he's asking them this question. Do you believe I can do that? Do you believe that? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. So basically, he said, do you believe I can do this? And they said, sure, we believe you can do that. And basically what he said is, okay, let's see what you're believing. So what did he do? He put the burden of proof on them. And it says he touched their eyes, and it says, and said, according to your faith. So he said, okay, I'm gonna put you to the test. Let's see what you're really believing. That's what he's saying here. According to your faith, let's see what you're really believing. I asked you, do you believe I can do this? Now, he didn't say, according to my power, according to my willingness, my ability. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that. He said, according to your faith, let's see what you're saying you believe. Let's see. You're saying you believe I can do that. Let's see what you really believe. And by doing that, he's basically putting the burden of proof on them. He's not saying, well, I can do anything. Of course, I'm the son of David. I can do anything, which is true. He could. But he's showing them here, let's find out what you're really believing. And so he puts the burden of proof right back on them. And it says in verse 30 that their eyes were opened. So that was the proof that they believed. See, there was a proof that they believed. Something took place. Something changed. That was the proof that they were in faith or that they believed. Jesus said, do you believe this? They said, yes. He said, okay, let's find out what you're really believing. Prove it. Be it unto you according to your faith. Whatever it is that you're believing is what you're going to have. And their eyes were opened. So there was proof that they were in faith. So he asked them if they believed and then put the burden of proof on them. You know, so often people are uncomfortable with this whole concept or issue of faith, but I think this sets a biblical precedent that it's acceptable to have this kind of discussion with people about their faith. Are you in faith? What are you believing? Sometimes we need to find out what people are believing because what they're believing is not right. What they're believing is not syncing with what God's word says. God can do anything. We'll hear people say that all the time. Well, God will take care of them. God can do anything while they just sit there and wait. If these guys had sat there and waited, what would they have gotten? Absolutely nothing. Even though they knew he was the son of David, even though they knew he could open blind eyes, even though they knew he was the king, this Messiah, even though they knew those things in their heads, they could have just sat there and not had their lives dramatically changed that day. So there's something here about faith that goes way beyond us just knowing some things. These guys were aggressive. There was an aggressive posture that they took, and Jesus was proving something. He addressed the issue of whether or not they had faith. He was addressing the issue of, look, let's find out what you believe. Let's find what you're believing right now is what you're going to have. And so he put the burden of proof on them, prayed for them, and then what they were believing is what came to pass. So this is proof, one example of a proof that it's acceptable to have this kind of discussion with people. It's acceptable for us to have our faith challenged at times. If we're in a place where it's not changing, things are not getting better, somebody needs to have the guts to talk to us about why. And Michael, back is to what I talked about last week, maybe we've been mistreating ourselves. Maybe we have stressed ourselves, not taken good care of ourselves, not treated our body like it's a temple. It might be a practical thing like that. Maybe something very non-spiritual in our eyes, but it could be something that's very, very real and very true. But there's got to be people that can come and talk to us like that, can be honest with us. Now, it doesn't mean get in our face and be obnoxious, but that can help us sort through some things. So we need to acknowledge that sometimes a lack of faith is the problem. That's not like somebody's not cursing you when they say that. They're not being intentionally. Jesus wasn't intending to offend these people, was he? He was trying to get them to locate themselves. So sometimes a lack of faith or believing is the problem. Sometimes people don't recover because of a lack of faith. You know, and then what happens is because we don't believe properly about that kind of thing, somebody dies and goes home prematurely, we've come up with all kinds of traditions and doctrines of men to make us feel better about that. Well, God picked a rose. God needed them in heaven. God was just so lonesome for them that he needed them to come to be with him. Have you ever heard things like that? I mean, pastor had to do a funeral once for a baby. It was a crib death situation. And these people, he told them, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to stand up and say that God took them. And they were angry because they wanted everybody to know that God took that baby. Well, God received that baby. But isn't there a difference between God receiving that baby and God taking that baby? They were angry. They wanted everybody to know God took that baby. Well, God didn't take that baby. You know, now there's accidents that happen. No, that's another whole can of worms to open, but we're not going to open it today. Amen. So we need to be able to identify these things. We need to be able to talk about these things and discuss them so that we can identify and locate the causes for why things aren't changing. As much as I believe sometimes healing is a process, if that process is going on year after year after year, then there's no process going on. That process can be, you know, I shared my own testimony about when I had that, the doctor was telling me, you know, you're going to have surgery, you're going to have some work done on your neck, and otherwise you're going to lose the use of your arm, and that was not acceptable to me. Absolutely not acceptable. And so I focused my attention for a period of time on nothing but the word regarding healing and who the healer was. I focused on it. I didn't do anything else. We even went out of town for a few days because I was in a lot of pain, and I did what I had to do naturally. You know, I did some of the things that I was supposed to do naturally, but my focus was not on natural things. My focus was on the spiritual side of it. And I spent a lot of time meditating in the scriptures, confessing the word. And then one day, as I've shared, pastor was praying and he was reading. And of course, the context of the scripture that he was applying was a little out of the context of healing, but he was reading in Corinthians about how husbands and wives, our bodies belong to our spouse. They're not our own, that they also have authority over our bodies. And he just got a revelation. Look, your body's my body. So he was able to come alongside me and agree with me and take authority over this thing that I was standing against And it's like two is better than one. And the two of us standing together against them got that job done. Amen. You know, it doesn't mean I didn't have faith. What it meant is that the two of us together were able to get it done much quicker. You know, sometimes spouses can be like in pride, like, I don't need your help. Are you kidding? When you're hurting, when you're suffering, you need all the help you can get. Amen. Whether it's somebody that you trust that's a spiritual leader or your spouse who you know is a person of faith, you know, you tap into whatever you can. You know, we're called the body of Christ. That means each one of us provides something, brings something. And so we have to be able to recognize. Now, and of course, that situation changed. I no longer had to go back to the doctor, stop going to the doctor. But there's some things even in that testimony that I'll share as we go on here about this issue of faith. There were some issues about things that I heard the Lord say to me about it. You know, and that's another place where people miss it, is they don't take the time to seek the face of God, to hear what they need to hear. They think, well, I've heard what Matthew 8:17 says. I've heard what 1 Peter. No, that's not what it's talking about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. That word rhema means the living voice. What's the living voice saying to you about your situation? Maybe it's finances. What's the living voice saying to you? Are you listening? Are you seeking the living voice? Are you seeking what? We have a living God. We have a God who is alive. And he wants to help us. He wants to tell us. He wants to show us things. If we never take the time to dig in and to shut ourselves away with him, to hear what he has to say about that situation, we're not going to have faith. We'll have head beliefs. We'll know what the word says, but we won't have any heart faith. Once God speaks to you about something, man, that's all that you need. Right. You don't need anything more than what God has said. And, you know, we'll see this again as we go on, but Jesus said that. He said, I don't do anything unless I first see or hear it from the Father. This is Jesus. You know, I imagine that the nights before he'd go out and he'd go into towns, that when he spent his time praying, he drew himself away a lot to pray. What do you think he was doing? I think he was praying and he was seeing what was going to happen. The Lord was imparting to him, downloading to him the things he would be doing. So when he went to the man at the pool of Bethesda, he knew exactly who to go to and who to challenge that day. That's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by what that living voice is speaking to us. That's what Rhema really is talking about, is that which is uttered by the living voice. It's not just promises that we've cataloged away. You know, we've got like these little filing systems in our head. Okay, here's my prosperity ones, and here's my, and then there's these, and we've got all those, and we've got all these beliefs that we've tucked away. We've got our mind renewed, and we'd fight over those if somebody wanted to challenge us, but there's no faith. It's just a belief system. That's all it is. So it might be something that's uncomfortable. It might be something that challenges us. There's no reason for us to feel condemned or embarrassed or let's just get the job done. Amen? If something goes on and on and on and on and on, let's find out why. Let's look at all, spirit, soul, and body. Let's look at all the aspects. It might be strictly a physical thing. It might be something we're doing physically. It might be in the soul realm. We might be in unforgiveness. We might have some bitterness in our life. That affects us, doesn't it? Doesn't the scripture tell us that? But it might be that we just are struggling in the area of faith in this area. You know, sometimes God's just going to tell you when it comes to an issue of healing, you go to the doctor. Christians are afraid to go to the doctor, some of them. I don't want to know. Well, is that faith? If there's fear in operation, is that faith? No, you know, we're bold about going to the doctor. Go to the doctor if you need to go to the doctor. Let them tell you what it is you're dealing with. So you know who your enemy is. You know what you might assume. You might be having this pain in the same area. I've got cancer. And then we get into fear because we're thinking, I've got cancer. I know this is cancer. We go to the doctor, we just find out it's nothing to do with cancer at all. You know, it's some minor little thing, and this is all you need to do to deal with it. You know, sometimes we just need to go to the doctor. You know, I had this conversation recently with somebody. You might need to have the surgery. There's no faith failure in having a surgery. Doctors only are helpers anyway. Amen. They're not the healers. I mean, yes, they help the body in a natural ways to heal, but they're not the healer. Your body was created by God. He's the healer. So you have to go and hear, what is God telling you? Where do you have peace? Sometimes it's natural. Sometimes it's a soulish thing. God can tell you if you're harboring unforgiveness, or if you're bitter about something, or if you've been offended and you're holding on to that. He could tell you that. And boy, I'll tell you what, when God puts his finger on something, I don't know about you, but it's like, yes, sir. Okay. It doesn't take long to repent. At least for me, it doesn't. It's like, okay, yes, sir. I love those moments because that means I'm on the road. I'm back on the road. It's like I was at the wayside rest. Now I'm back on the road to recovery or to the answer. So these are things we should welcome in our lives. Amen. Amen. But if we never spend time with God, if we never seek his face, if we don't spend time delving into those secret places, seeking revelation, we'll never learn. We'll never learn what's at the root of it. Amen.